Good morning. It's very fun to be in front of you all on the floor instead of on the stage. So we're starting a series today called We Could Be Heroes. John, if you want to throw that title slide up there. And Bill wanted me to introduce the idea of heroes, and I guess he thought I was like a big nerd or something and that I like superheroes a lot. And he was right. So to start this morning, I just want to get you primed for thinking about heroes, not just superheroes, but maybe some superheroes. And so I've got some slides, and I want you to just call out the hero when you figure out who it is. So first one, easy. Next one. Good job, The Incredibles. All right, away from superheroes, something that's super culturally relevant right now. Stranger Things, what's her name? 11, nice. All right, before we go to, he already went. There's 114 days till Christmas, so the hero of the best Christmas movie of all time, Buddy the Elf, okay? Now, before we move on, we're going to go away from the goofy heroes and to maybe a little more serious. So the next one, MLK. All right, now I really wanted to put a president in here, but I figured none of them were, one we could all agree on, maybe, because our recent presidents are kind of divisive. So I went with the first one. I figure we can all get behind that guy. But I did want to get a little bit divisive, so let's go to sports. Okay, I've got some cheers and some jeers. All right, let's take it a little less divisive with sports. I don't know how you all feel about him. I think he's a hero. So sports sometimes give us heroes, right? And I just wanted to tell you a little story about one of my biggest sports heroes. And the reason he's one of my biggest sports heroes, not LeBron James, the next guy, don't put him up yet. I love baseball. Some of you might know that. My least favorite baseball team of all time, though you've heard me razz the Cubs a bit, is not the Cubs. It's actually those New York Yankees. I don't like the Yankees, and I don't think you should like the Yankees either. Sorry if you do. Yes. And there was this baseball player in the late 90s, early 2000s, who played for the Oakland Athletics. They were not a big market team. His name is Jason Giambi, okay? And he left the A's and joined the very rich Yankees, and he was an all-star for the Yankees, and he was a villain, right? In the 2007 ALDS, when the Indians played the Yankees, I booed Jason Giambi so hard because I could not stand him. And then, as fate would have it, who comes to play his last two seasons for the Cleveland Indians but Jason Giambi? And you can put him up now. He becomes a total hero because in those two seasons, he doesn't hit over 200, which is terrible. He's a very bad hitter at this point. But in late September of 2013, the Indians are trying to make a playoff push. They're trying to get this wild card spot so that they can get into the playoffs. And Jason Giambi hits this monstrous walk-off home run. And if you've ever seen the video of this game, it's one of the funniest things ever because he cannot run anymore. And so he kind of airplane hobbles in to home plate as all of his teammates are up there cheering him on. And Matt Underwood, who's one of the announcers for the Indians, says, "If you don't think there's something special going on in this club, then you are totally missing it." And so they make the playoff push. They play their one game and get eliminated in the wild card game. But I get to look at Jason Giambi and say, there's one of my sports heroes because he came from the most villainous of the villains and became this very, very humble and victorious Cleveland Indian, which is a small market team. They're my team. And I think that's a little bit of the story we're looking towards. Maybe not quite villains, but people who you wouldn't traditionally think are the heroes of stories, and how their interaction with God and their encounters with Jesus Christ allow them to become heroes. Not saying that the Cleveland Indians are the Christ figure in this scenario, but they are. Sorry. And now he asked me to say that I would like to turn it over to my biggest hero. I'm not going to say that. Here's our pastor, Bill.
You showed so much restraint, bro. He really wanted to say that. Should we? We have, if you are open to the media at all, we have not just our culture and our society, but all over the world, we have a preoccupation with heroes. A fella, I think his last name is Brooks, wrote a book about the 7 basic plot lines that are a part of the human story, like overcoming the monster, like the voyage and return. You think of the Odyssey, you know, that kind of stuff, a rebirth, a renewal. You know, these kinds of stories, tragedies, comedies, are the human stories, the essential human stories. And in almost all of those, it's really apparent that the center of that story is someone that we could call a hero. Someone that we can call a hero. So we've been captivated. Our human story is filled with stories of the hero. And I think it's interesting to me that no matter how far back we look, we find the hero narrative, the hero plot line playing out in our human story. And for me, I think where we get this from, it goes all the way back to the beginning. It goes all the way back to this idea that things got messed up. Life in creation, life on this planet, your life and mine, isn't the way that it was meant to be. And we're yearning for more. We have hope for more, and the avenue through which we enter into the more, where we enter into the restored sort of way things are supposed to be is through the hero. And so we're going to explore this hero today a little bit so that we get a really strong grip on what is a hero and how we might be heroes. And so real quick, I want to flash a couple definitions of hero to us. You might recognize some of these. The first one is a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. So Jason Giambi, maybe not so much the noble qualities. I'm with Spencer on that guy. He hit one home run, right? He did one thing, but it was cool. It was a good achievement. But you can think of other people who we think of when we think of people who are filled with noble character, noble qualities, thinking of our first responders, thinking of people that serve to keep us safe, thinking of single parents, thinking of teachers, right? These are people of noble character. These are people who, while we might not see all of their achievements, they're fundamentally great because they contribute to the restoration of creation. Right? These are people that step into moments of crisis and turn the crisis off, right? They stop by their own presence, by physically being there, they stop the earth from shaking around us, right? These are heroes. These are fantastic, wild achievements. These are people of noble character. I remember working with a church planter a few years ago who eventually went and started a church in the greater Columbus area. And I remember almost bursting into tears the first sort of regional gathering of all of our pastors where he was introduced. And he was standing there at the podium and he was talking about the vision that God had given him for this church. And he said, and he almost couldn't get the words out, he said, I feel totally compelled to run to the darkest place in this community. And that is where I will be. I will run to the darkest place because this is where Jesus is and I want to be with Jesus. I don't want to wake up at the end of my life in ministry and find out that I wasn't where Jesus was. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what a hero. What a hero. And the stories of what this young man did, young single man moving into a really rough neighborhood in Columbus, the stories that played out, he was a hero to those people in his community. The next definition of hero is a bit maybe broader. We maybe can connect with this through our Greek mythology classes or Roman mythology classes. This idea that they are a mythical or legendary figure, often of divine descent, endowed with great strength or ability, like Hercules, right? Or Bill Ludwig, right? Thank you. That's my name, by the way. And this hero that we're going to explore this morning, named Jesus, is sort of a mixture of both of these definitions, isn't he? And this realization that our human story is so deeply needy for heroes, it's so connected to this idea that we are messed up. Even if we don't know what it is, we have this vague sense that the world isn't the way it should be. That there are still fires that burn out of control, both metaphorically and literally, that the earth still shakes, our lives still crumble in places, and we're in need of rescue. There are great wrongs and injustices and oppression and violence being done all over the planet, and someone needs to step up. Someone of noble character. Someone of noble birth. Someone with the divine in them that will run to the darkness. And this man, this prototypical hero there from the beginning of time is Jesus. So we're going to check out a passage of scripture in Philippians today that I think, among others, is a great snapshot of Jesus the hero. We're going to point out a couple of qualities of how Jesus is a hero by reading through this text, and then we're going to explore how we might become a part of this hero narrative ourselves. So here we are in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8 from the Message. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. That wasn't him. Next slide. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. Next slide. It was an incredibly humbling process for him. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life. And then he died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. And so if we go back, you can put that first section of scripture back up there if you would. When we go back and look at this and this story, this part of Jesus' story, and we say, okay, what is a hero like? What makes him a hero? The first thing that we can see is he had equal status with God. He had all authority and power, all the worship, you know, whatever picture you have of what it looks like in heaven. This is where Jesus was, in a place of honor, being celebrated, right? Whatever it looks like to be worshiped, this is what Jesus had. And I would suggest to you that one of the first aspects of his character that is heroic is the fact that he said, I am not going to hold on to this so tightly that I will ignore what is going on. So he lays down that position. He lets go of that power, of that place of position and privilege. He lays it down. And I don't know about you, but when I look at hero stories, I often see that, right? The way they play out in books and on television and in movies, we see a person who doesn't have to, but they do it anyway, right? They're heroes. Your heroes. Jesus is a hero. So the first aspect of that is he lays down his own privilege, his own power, right? And the second aspect of that then is this. If you go to the next slide. When the time came, he set aside those privileges and took on the status of a slave. He became human. And having become human, he stays human. Jesus comes down. He moves into our neighborhood, right? He steps into our situation, right? And by his very presence, the earth is changed. Creation begins a new season, right? Because the King of creation is here. One who is divinely born, right? One who is possessed with divine strength, with all of this glory and privilege. He has come into our neighborhood. He has moved in to our situation. And this is, again, the storyline of the hero. He gives up his privilege and he enters into our situation. The next slide then. Instead of claiming those privileges, he lives a selfless, obedient life and dies a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death, a crucifixion. This is one of the most incredible dynamics, I think, of Jesus's hero story. When we think of heroes in the movies, right, you think of the one that runs to the danger, is willing to give up their life. When you think of first responders and folks in our military, right, when you think of parents who rush to the aid of their children regardless of the danger, when you think of this aspect, they're coming to save the person who is the object, right, of their love, the object of their affection, the people that they feel they have a responsibility toward. And this is where I think, Jesus is like the best hero there ever was, because Jesus not only comes to save folks like you and me who are stretching up our hands and saying, come help me, hallelujah, praise the Lord, Hosanna, come save us. Jesus doesn't just lay down his power and privilege and come into our situations. He comes into the situations of everyone, even people that we would consider a villain. In fact, Jesus' hero story is one of the only stories where the hero dies so that the bad people can live. Let that settle in for a minute, how Jesus is different from the other hero stories. He gives himself up so that the bad guys can live. And here's the crazy thing before we go, oh my gosh, isn't he great? Is that he did all of this. His hero story played out while we were yet bad guys. In the scope of creation, when sin entered in, when we started to choose between right and wrong, between good and evil, when we made choices other than what God expected and created us for, we entered into a life that was marred by sin, that was twisted by it, and we became the bearers of that image as much as the bearers of his image. We were the bad guys. And so here's the story, that while we were still wrapped up in that lifestyle, a hero comes. And in spite of us being the villains, he gives up himself for us, for you, for me. What a powerful hero story. Consider that for a moment. How he's different. He gives himself up so the bad guys can live. And here's the really cool thing. In that, his sacrifice, his selfless, obedient death, that death on a cross, the crucifixion, it wasn't just about him dying so that we can live. It was about the good guy giving himself up so that we can become good guys too. Jesus, our hero, gives himself up, offers himself up, extends his privilege to us, extends his authority to us, extends his redeeming love that chases us and pursues us. He extends that to us so that we could not only become good guys, but that we can become heroes too. While I'm talking about this, as an aside, there's this psalm that's really famous. Most of us have heard about it. It's Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd one. You've maybe heard this from time to time. There's a passage in that text, I think it's the sixth verse maybe, where it says that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I need you to understand that will follow thing, it sounds really passive. Like, well, there I am, and goodness and mercy are just kind of walking along behind me, right? Making sure that they can still see me. Well, that is not what's happening in this text at all. In fact, the other ways that word that we translate shall follow is used in the Hebrew language, it's like pursuit, right? It's like running after you so as to capture you. running after you so as to take you captive. Right? In other ways that it's used, it's like dogs pursuing the prey on a hunt. Right? This isn't a passive thing. Our hero doesn't just come down and offer himself up. That sounds great. It also sounds passive, and that is not at all. That is not at all who our hero is. He isn't just one that empties himself. He's one that has to go through Samaria. Right? The story of the woman at the well that we talked about a little bit ago. Goodness and mercy in that text. It's this imagery of his covenant love, his absolute fanatical loyal love to us. This is the quality of a hero. This is the quality of our hero, Jesus. And these are the things that he extends to us. Right? That while he came while we were bad guys and he offered himself up, he did so in a way that made a way for us to become good guys. And while he pursued us, he did it and does it in such a way still today that we are set up to pursue others. The title of this series and what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks as we look at different biblical characters is in a lot of ways how we're like them, not just in how frail we are, not just in all of the ways that we are still broken being made new, but in all of the ways that the power of his Spirit within us enables us to be heroes. And I want to conclude today with a section of scripture that absolutely blew my mind the first time I encountered it as an adult thinker. Right, I had read through it as a youngster, and it was like, oh, this is a story about Jesus. It's really nice. I love Jesus. But when I read it as an adult person that had a relationship with Jesus myself, it absolutely melted my face off. And we find it in John chapter 14, 12 through 14. And this is, Jesus is talking about, you know, him getting ready to head out, right? He's getting ready to take off, and he's talking to his followers, and he says this: the person who trusts me, who believes in me, the person who does this will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things. Because I'm on my way to the Father, and I'm giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. Before we move on to the next slide, I want to explain. This is the face-melting moment for me. Now, wait a minute. Jesus is a hero. Jesus is my hero. He's our hero. Jesus is God. Jesus was there at creation. Jesus emptied himself of all of his privilege, and he came here into my life, my sin. I'll do the things that he has done? Mind blown. Mind absolutely blown. And I stopped reading there because I couldn't even wrap my head around that idea. Whoever trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater thing. What are you talking about, Jesus? How can we do what you're doing? And now you're saying there's even more. What can be greater than what Jesus has done? What can be greater than who Jesus is and what he's doing? Who's a bigger, better hero than Jesus? And he says to you and to me, those who trust him, you can be heroes too. In fact, if you trust me, I will move you not only from bad guy to good guy, from death to life, but I will move you from powerless to powerful. I will move you from a person of poor character to a person of noble character. I will move you from a person who holds on to everything that you have so tightly for security and survival, and I will pry open your hands gently so that you can empty yourself on behalf of others. Oh my gosh. We can debate on what Jesus is talking about, really. Whether it's because, you know, his adult ministry as Jesus the hero was only like three and a half years long, and you and I have so many more years. Maybe it's the pile of heroic things that we can have. Maybe that's what he's talking about. My mind is still blown. It's still absolutely wrecked. If you trust me, Jesus says, you'll do the things that I have done, that I've been doing, even greater things than these. The next section of the verse should open our eyes a little bit. Again, I stopped reading too soon. He says this, you can count on this. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am, the hero, what I am doing, saving, rescuing, heroic things, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. And I mean it, whatever you request in this way, I will do. If you are requesting in my name, if you are requesting something that's consistent with who I am and what I've come here for, if you are consistently praying and asking for me to do the thing that I've come here to do, then I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. And the beautiful thing later on, and we hear him say to his followers, all the authority to do all these heroic things, the Father's given to me, and now I give it to you. So now you go do the things. You go and be heroes. I pray that today you are being confronted with this like I was back in the day. I pray that your face is melting a little bit. I pray that your mind is being blown a little bit with this idea. But even so, I want you to be thinking about and considering what it is that Jesus has done for you, how he has rescued you, what it is that he's up to in your life or in the life of the people around you. Because when we do that, when we take the idea down off the high shelf and we look it straight in the eye and put some skin and details on it, well, now we can begin to understand it. Now we can begin to understand it. How we might also lay down our privilege and our authority and our power and our position and our comfort for the sake of others. How maybe metaphorically or physically, we don't just stay where we are in this place of comfort, but we move towards people who are hurting, who are broken. Maybe in all of the ways that we can sacrifice our privilege, our reputation, parts of our lives, so that others can be lifted, so that others can be elevated. We know these stories. They're the stories that play out on the big screen. They're the stories that play out in the comic books. They're the stories that play out in our lives. We, too, can be heroes. This is our ministry to each other and to the world. And so I ask you today, as we are in the beginning of this series, to begin to think about what are the ways in which you are, where you have been, or where you could be heroes in the way that Jesus is a hero to your family, to your neighbors, to your friends. What's a good story? What a good story it is, this hero story. The people around us, as much as the people in this room, need that story present in their lives. We're going to talk more about what that looks like as we break down different characters throughout the next few weeks, but I pray you'll come back and join us, as I really want you to allow Jesus to convince you that you are heroes, people of noble character, people endowed with a divine power to be present in this place and in this time to do the things that Jesus is doing. Let me pray for you now.